Is Russia using deepfake AI and other cyber mischief to deceive the world? That's the topic today on Mind Matters News.
Welcome to Mind Matters News, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings. The late Russian Prime Minister Yevgeny Primakov offered a doctrine in contrast to the doctrine of Russian Army General Valery Gerasimov. Both doctrines were meant to improve the military stance of Russia on the world stage, the military and the political stance, especially Russia's political stance with the United States. Our guest today says the Gerasimov and Primakov doctrines have merged, and we in the United States need to understand this Russian mischief. Our guest is Denise Simon. She is a senior research and intelligence analyst for foreign and domestic policy for numerous flag officers and intelligence organization. Her blog, Founders Code, is considered by many to be the place to go to for ahead-of-the-curve information. She hosts the Denise Simon's Experience, and we are again about to experience Denise Simon. Denise, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Could you real quickly kind of review the Gerasimov doctrine concerning cyber sort of events aimed at the world?
The Gerasimov doctrine was an outline, a pretty extensive outline on redefining the military and non-military tactics of Russia. And what he was essentially saying is that we have to be ready with weaponry of all sorts, including soft weaponry, which would be all things cyber, to address new horizons, because we're getting away from the conventional hardware, if you will. We just don't do tanks anymore and put, you know, thousands of boots on the ground. We do other things. And that includes drones, which are done remotely. But drones are not just armed with munitions. They're also armed with surveillance capabilities. And that information that they collect goes back to, you know, certain centers where Russian experts would analyze and then grade that information. We do the same thing. So what Gerasimov was arguing is we can't just hope that we can create smart bombs and then have them delivered, because one, they're expensive. Two, they have to keep factories going and then they have to be delivered. We have to be prepared in other ways. Russia knew that they were behind. And so they had kind of married with some advances that they were able to collaborate with China on. And of course, China's getting it from us because they steal everything from us.
They do. Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
And then we have Yevgeny Primakov. Now, he was a politician. He was also, I think, a foreign minister at one point. And he was probably more closely tied to all things Kremlin, because the Russian leadership has a certain agenda. You know, they want to expand their footprint, which means they want to be a little bit more of a force in Eastern Europe. They have certain ambitions in Latin America and now in the Middle East, obviously, and in Africa. So the prudent thing to do would be to marry those two doctrines and apply all things that are, one, cheaper, and two, cyber-based for their objectives. Now, what all their objectives are, we out here don't know, but we would probably get very fascinating answers when it came to the State Department or the National Security Agency or the Pentagon.
In fact, this is a word I learned from you also, Maskarovka, which is... What is Maskarovka? By the way, Denise, I practice.
You're doing great.
I practice that. I practice saying that word. It's Maskirovka. Maskarovka. What is Maskarovka?
I've mentioned many times what is known as active measures, Well, in the Russian world, it's maskarovka, which is to obfuscate or deception. And that's both on and off the battlefield. And so that includes what we, a new term that has, I think I first learned it from Senator Marco Rubio, is deep fakes.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, yes. So our Senate, especially I would say under the Senate Armed Services Committee with Marco Rubio, he's very, very concerned about these things. And it's, that's another component of we trying to decipher what's real coming out of the Kremlin and what isn't real. And even if it isn't real, what consequences it has on influence activities.
My goodness. One of the things that Russia is invested in is artificial intelligence. Vladimir Putin came out with a quote that basically said, whoever controls artificial intelligence is going to control the world. And I think it was referring to both the economic and military aspects of artificial intelligence, but there's lots of interest there. Now, according to your Mind Matters news article, and we're going to post a link to that on the podcast page, you said in 2018, Vladimir Putin organized engineers, education, science, and commercial developers to develop a plan for AI and big data. This was a couple of years ago. What is he trying to do?
He has created a couple of buildings where these activities, I think it's called the Moscow Institute of Physics and Technologies, which is kind of the center for artificial intelligence. And what he has done is he has gone out to his own population and populations outside his country, mostly China, to find those scientists, and I would say cyber scientists or computer engineers, software types, to bring them in and teach so they can expand their talent base to enhance the operations going forward in the hybrid or asymmetric warfare or conflict fair. We are in conflict with Russia when it comes to the Arctic, for instance. So that is what his ambition is. He has, he's actually given research grants to companies and entities inside Russia and outside Russia, to mobilize these talents. They even have contests, for machine learning and speech recognition technologies and facial recognition and all those kinds of things. So they were behind the curve. And they're working diligently to not only get up to speed, but to be more advanced by a factor of probably 8 or 10 years over the United States. They're not going to get there, but that's their ambition.
I see. Why the Arctic? Why is anybody interested in the Arctic?
Energy.
Energy. Oh, for oil development and such?
Oh, yes.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Now, you also mentioned in your article that you say that audio and video deep fakes are expanding from Russia, and they're targeting places like the Ukraine and the Baltic states and Africa. What's going on with their deep fakes in both video and audio?
There would be some YouTube videos or that would be promoted by, say, Russia Today, that would end up out there in mainstream media platforms, where you may have somebody that you've created out of whole cloth and you'd put a certain face over the real person and then you'd put certain voices to it and you're faking the people out that are viewing this. They come to people's attention, then they have to go see what's real about it. So we expend an awful lot of resources and energies to determine those types of fakes. Now, James Clapper, who was under the Obama administration, the head of all spies, if you will, he did say one interesting thing, and he wanted to have a center for information technologies, and that would be to have some other types of experts or create experts that could investigate what information is real, possibly real, and not real at all. So you would grade the things that Russia is doing. And they've been doing it for decades and decades and decades. And his concentration certainly was on Russia.
You know, there used to be detectives in universities that actually could look at things like Photoshopped pictures and doctored videos. But I don't know how effective those are going to be anymore. I wonder if there's any detectives out there that can actually do detection of fake video and fake audio.
Yes. This is maybe a little bit off topic here, but we had a Ukraine plane that was shot down several years ago, and Russia still to this day has not taken responsibility for it. But there was a fellow by the name of Elliot Higgins, who happened to be an at-home mom, if you will, because he didn't have a job in London, who didn't have anything else to do. So he decided he was going to try and get to the bottom of this one. And he enlisted, if you will, kind of almost in a crowdsourcing of talent across the globe to help him and this little team that he created to determine who shot down that plane with a Buk missile, B-U-K missile. And they did. And they were able to get recordings. They were able to get locations. They went to geographies. They looked at all kinds of things. And you can find his work. It's something called Bellingcat, B-E-L-L-I-N-G-C-A-T. Did a remarkable job.
And this was all done by an amateur.
Absolute amateur.
Wow.
It took him a lot of years, but he learned a lot of things. Now, with this second plane that was shot down, this Ukrainian plane that was shot down in Iran, and Iran denied it, he enlisted a lot of his same volunteer skills, if you will, to determine and prove that it was Iran that did it. So what's interesting about that is that when you take pictures using your iPhone or you take video, there are some things that are going on in the background that identify that picture. So we know that it came from an iPhone. We know the date that it was taken. We know the locations where it is. So there's all of these other things, these technologies that we're pretty unaware of in the basic world. But these little technology gurus, these geeks, they understand it and they can tell a very different story.
Very fascinating. Let me ask you a question. Related back to Russia. How are the Russians using robotics and AI today? We know that you mentioned they have a lot of interest in AI sort of research, but have they actually reduced it to practice? Are they using it?
They've teamed with a energy company and I think a power company to create some of these robots that they are in fact testing. And I would say that they're testing them in the Arctic. And that's, you don't have to deal, when you have robots, you don't have to deal with human protection or human recovery. You have just this machine out there that is guided, remotely so, from a base to investigate patterns where submarines can go, where there may be pockets of oil and or gas. They're not only doing it in the Arctic, but if you go up towards the North Atlantic above Europe, they're doing it there as well. So it has made some of those countries, the Norways and the Finlands, very suspect on these activities. And of course, then they're going to tap the United States on the shoulder and say, do you see these things that are going on? Of course, we say we do, but we have to kind of pick and choose where our own footprint is.
So, Denise, we have the Gerasimov, the Primakov doctrines, the application of Russia, of artificial intelligence to numerous different places. Also, the mischief that they do with their misinformation and their cyber fakes. How should we respond? How should the U.S. government respond? Are we doing it the right way? And how should U.S. citizens respond, like me?
Well, if nothing else, learn it. Understand what they're doing. That would be the first thing. Now, we had a couple of poisoning events in London. I think we may remember poor a fellow by the name of Alexander Litvinenko. He was poisoned. He used to be I think one of the Russian detectives, but he found out, or KGB, and he found out that things that they were doing, he couldn't do anymore. So Russia decided that he needed to be eliminated, and he eventually was eliminated. He had fled to Britain, and he eventually got poisoned, successfully so. We had another attempt a couple of years ago in Britain by a former Russian spy, also by the name of Sergei Skripal. And he had apparently gone to a restaurant and was poisoned there along with his daughter by something called polonium. Now, why would the Kremlin want to eliminate Sergei Skripal? Well, Sergei Skripal was essentially hired by Western intelligence to go over and advise poor Eastern Europe, the small, sad little countries over there that are under siege, if you will, by Russia, to teach their intelligence agencies all these things that you and I are speaking about when it comes to active measures and tactics. So poor Skripal, he did survive, but that was the reason that Russia attempted to kill him.
My goodness. So what you're saying is that we can spend our time privately in debunking Russian misleading information, but in doing so, it might be dangerous to our health. Is that right?
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Yeah. How about that?
But they used a nerve agent called Novichok when they tried to kill Skripal. So it's a military grade nerve toxin.
Okay, well, that's fascinating, Denise. This has just been a fascinating talk with you. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
We've been talking to Denise Simon. She's a senior researcher and intelligence analyst for foreign domestic policy, and we are going to link a lot of things relating to this podcast on the podcast notes page. So until next time, be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters News with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters News is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters News is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.